This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
History in 5 songs. With host Martin Popoff. A production of Pantheon Podcasts. Let's rock out with Martin.
Hello, once again. Welcome back to another episode of History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff, brought to you by the good people at Pantheon Podcast. We are pleased, as always, to be part of this fast and always expanding Pantheon Podcast Network. We're available on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon Music, and over 40 other podcast platforms. All right. This is episode 234. I'm calling this They Shrunk the Boogie! Exclamation mark. So yeah, I think this is a pretty cool idea. I mean, I've always felt this about these bands, but this is called History in 5 Songs, and I thought, oh, this kind of is a trend. Are there 5 bands I can talk about like this? It turns out there are. So the idea here, maybe I won't get too far into it because everybody's got a slightly different story, but the idea here is bands that played boogie music. See, this is the other fun thing about this episode. You get to hear me say boogie instead of boogie. Apparently when I go on Sea of Tranquility, I get a lot of heck for that. That's not how you're supposed to say it, apparently. This may be a Canadian thing. I don't know. But the idea here is bands that played or have as part of their thing kind of like a boogie rock thing. Sped up blues, heavy blues rock, heavy fast blues rock, boogie, Chuck Berry, whatever you want to call it. They're all a little bit different here. But they had this, and for some reason, it shrunk. And we're going to talk about the ways it shrunk for all these bands and why it might have shrunk and what some of the influences might have been that sent it that way. So let's get cracking here. Take a listen to this. This is the Rolling Stones with She's So Cold. Okay, so the Rolling Stones. Definitely, I think this is a great example of this. I think the shrinking of the boogie starts at Black and Blue. It accelerates through Some Girls. It's definitely there. We're right in the middle of it with the album that this song is from, Emotional Rescue 1980. It's still there to an extent in Tattoo You. And then it starts to wane, and I'll describe in a minute. So what do I mean by shrunk the boogie? So, it's not that they did less boogie. It's that it got smaller and more intimate kind of thing. So the Stones, I think it kind of picks up. Okay, so in the 60s, you only got those recording values. Everything's pretty conservative. You essentially, the Stones in the 60s, not exactly an exciting proposition, right? I think things sort of pick up. You go past the Psych album, which I totally like. Into Beggar's Banquet, Let It Bleed and Sticky Fingers are kind of a group to me where they're kind of a hard rock band. They're kind of a mildly hard rocking band for, this 69 into 71 period. We know Exile's a little bit of an outlier as well. It's a little more folksy and Americana, but it's still got some rocking on it. I think people kind of forget that it does. But I think the unshrunk version of the Rolling Stones being a boogie band are across Goat's Head Soup and It's Only Rock and Roll. So the idea here is that in the 70s, the Stones are essentially trying to record as well as possible kind of thing. They're expensive enough sounding recordings. They're not trying to do a specific thing in terms of production in being raw or simple or punky, because that's kind of what happens, I think. As we move into Black and Blue, Black and Blue is still a gorgeous sounding Stones album, but they're starting to be very spare with the arrangements. It's almost like the songs are even more about the drums and less about other things. You know, Mick is starting to kind of get scatty and sing high and all that kind of stuff. The guitars, yeah, kind of palm muted, smaller guitar lines. And then that really picks up into Some Girls. So why did the Rolling Stones shrink the Boogie? I think the main influences on the Stones are the kind of the New York clubbing scene. Disco with the chicken scratch guitar. New wave, being excited by a new wave and trying to stay young and trying to stay into that. So they're going out to clubs and stuff in New York. And I think this is affecting their sound. They want to stay vital. And I think the way they want to stay vital is not look like a massive corporation. I think that's kind of what you get on Some Girls. It's a very casual album. You look at Shattered. Shattered is a perfect example of them shrinking the Boogie. So it's almost as if they're, you know, I've said this about Rush during the keyboard era, and I feel it absolutely makes sense for the Stones on Some Girls and Emotional Rescue. This idea of it sounds like the band is playing in a matchbox, right? That sort of idea. And She's So Cold is a perfect example of this as well. I wanted to make sure that I was actually using a boogie rock song to illustrate this point, and that's why I wanted to pick She's So Cold. But yeah, there's some of that across Some Girls and Emotional Rescue. And then Tattoo You, I feel like they start to expand a little bit again. Something about that album just sounds, even though we know it's recorded all over the years and it's kind of like a leftovers-y album. You know, frankly, there's maybe an episode there. I thought of this at one point, how good some of these Leftovers albums are, because, you know, widely considered, Tattoo You is one of the great Stones albums, but also Physical Graffiti is one of the great Zeppelin albums, and it's a little bit like that, too. Right? So kind of interesting. But I think what happens is Undercover and Dirty Work feel like a little bit of a pair to me as well, where there's still a combative quality, this combative small quality that I think, frankly, I think over the course of Undercover and Dirty Work, you're almost closer to a Some Girls and Emotional Rescue than Tattoo You. But I think starting with Steel Wheels, they essentially go back to a goat's head soup, it's only rock and roll kind of idea, where they kind of want to use the studio to the full. They want tracks of percussion. They want guest stars. They want studio musicians. So that kind of stuff. It starts to feel like they're kind of a high fidelity band again, and kind of frankly a stadium rock band again, and kind of a corporate band again. So I'm not belying that. I'm not saying that's a bad idea. I'm just saying that they start to get sort of serious and ambitious again, and probably realizing, wow, we don't make records that fast. We should maybe do a good job on them when we do. So I think you get that throughout the whole rest of the catalog. Voodoo Lounge, Bridges to Babylon are quite lush. A Bigger Bang, same thing. Hackney Diamonds, we know that's got a lot of production on it as well. I've got a notorious Contrarians episode on that, where I was a little negative on you know, the whole Andrew Watt situation there. But yeah, I think there's a definite trend that starts with Steel Wheels. So that's your example of the Rolling Stones shrinking the Boogie. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, back again here on History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff, episode 234, They Shrunk the Boogie! Exclamation mark. Take a listen to this. This is Status Quo with Jam Side Down.
I got a rabbit foot, but luck don't come. Got my fingers crossed, and they gon' know. I can't hold my breath and wish for you. I need a miracle to make
Okay, so this is a perfect example of this as well. And I think there's different motivations here of why status quo shrunk the boogie. But obviously, I think status quo is the greatest boogie band of all time. Man, I think of Down Down and Little Lady and Backwater, Just Take Me, the massiveness, Slow Train, Big Fat Mama, Paper Plane. They do these amazingly huge sounding, guitar charged, incredibly energetic. Some of my favorite music of all time is that whole Backwater, Just Take Me thing. So status quo in the 70s, they were probably the most heavy metal example of a boogie band, and they did it magnificently on Quo and Hello and On the Level and those records, Pile Driver, right? The classic, the fearsome, what do they call it? The Frantic Four albums, the classic lineup. So what happens, though, is you start moving through status quo, a little bit of confusion there with Quo. Quo is my favorite status quo album, but status quo and Into Rockin' All Over the World, and now it really begins. So what they do, this is this whole idea where I've often called this shrunk the boogie thing origami boogie, right? So they start getting kind of like trite and poppy, and they go against the supercharged guitars and start sounding, again, smallish, right? But it's kind of like hooky and poppy and kind of novelty rocking. You think of In the Army Now. All those records all through the early 80s are not ones people any thinks are the favorites. I mean, look how fast they come. You got If You Can't Stand the Heat, 78, whatever you want, 79, Just Suppose, in 80, Never Too Late, 81, 1982 and 1982, back to back, 1983. That's a massive run of all these records that nobody really remembers any songs from. Now, granted, in the UK, they're still having, you know, they're one or two hit singles and they're doing okay and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, and then it just continues on with more faceless records nobody remembers. In the Army, well, that had the big hit. Ain't Complaining, Perfect Remedy, Rock Till You Drop. So I come on board as knowing status quo, thankfully. You know, we've lost the great Rick Parfitt, but they came to Toronto. I saw them twice in Toronto, and as we started up with the magazine Brave Words and Bloody Knuckles, I was even getting to interview them, so I've interviewed them a few times. I love chat talking to Francis. So they had a bit of a, I don't know even if you would call this a career revival, but as things pick up through, you know, Thirsty Work, Don't Stop, the covers album, Under the Influence, that whole era there. But certainly Heavy Traffic, which is what this song is from. I wanted to pick a song from Heavy Traffic. So this is 2002. And I remember, you know, being pretty into In Search of the Fourth Chord as well. But yeah, they kept making lots and lots of records through this period. So I almost feel like they have two periods of They Shrunk the Boogie, and they're kind of similar, really. There's not a big difference between that early 80s stuff and this 90s and 2000s stuff in particular. So again, Jam Side Down, it's just a later track on this album that nobody knows about, but I wanted to pick a song that actually demonstrates this, that it is still boogie. But again, what they do is even the productions don't seem like they're thinking in a heavy metal way. So even the productions is undermining this this heft and levity that they had in the old days with this boogie thing. Now, why do they do it? So I almost feel like with Quo, the reasons are, number one, there's you know, you talk about the blues having rules. Well, boogie is a subset of the blues, and it's even got tighter parameters, right? So there's not too many ways to do this. I mean, people joke about status quo and the boogie. It's like, how many ways can you possibly do this, right? So they have heavy metal songs, they have experimental songs, they have ballads, but the core of it was this boogie thing. So number one, you run out of ways to do it. So you end up origami boogie. So you bring it, you take out your Texas Instruments calculator or your slide rule or your abacus, and you try to figure out new ways. How possibly can we write a boogie song, right? And that might lead you to pop. It might lead you to kind of like weird chord changes and or boogie for this part, but not for this part. I mean, that's a standard thing as well. When people get bored of boogie, they start mixing it in with heavy metal. You know, I did a whole episode called the AB switch, right? which was looking at things like cat scratch fever or Strutter, how half of it's boogie and half of it's not. The verses are boogie, the choruses are heavy metal, right? So you do that as well. So I think status quo, why do they do this? It's A, to do something different slash boredom. And I wonder if there's a little bit of an influence from seeing the Stones do this, right? Because status quo is kind of a doppelganger of the Stones. They're both UK bands. But also, I think a big thing here is they're also drawing from the same reason as the Stones. They're looking around at what punk rock is doing. Now, status quo doesn't do anything particularly punk rock, neither does the Stones, but it's more like pub rock. And specifically that whole rock pile Dave Edmunds sort of thing, right? You know, we also know there's a rock and roll revival in the late 70s as well, with the likes of Sha Na Na and Grease and American Graffiti and those kinds of things, right? So that's happening. But I really think one of the main connectives here is status quo is looking at the likes of maybe not so much Dr. Feelgood or Eddie and the Hot Rods, but definitely like a rock pile Dave Edmunds, Nick Lowe situation, and saying, oh, those, you know, kids think those guys are actually pretty cool. You know, maybe, you know, we started with this. We built this whole thing. Why don't we be a little bit that way? So I think that's their situation. I think they're looking around and seeing the likes of Slade having to change. I think they're also looking at this idea of finally giving up on trying to break America. It never broke for them, but they had a great career over in the UK. So I think they're kind of giving up on that. And I wanted to mention another UK term that you always see in reviews, which is kind of funny. This idea of knees up music, right? So people think of status quo that way in the 70s. And they certainly think of Slade that way and possibly Sweet. So a little bit into the glam thing, but I honestly think when status quo goes to this pop boogie sort of guise, it's almost like a different version of Knees Up. It's a little more giddy. It's a little more poppy. It's a little more boy bandy. It's a little more girly. And so it's novelty is essentially what it is. It's hummable, weird, kind of funny, amusing radio rock songs. And I think you really get that attitude in these status quo albums. Like I say, I'm kind of into these ones where maybe I'm mixing the fond memory of getting to interview them and see them and that kind of stuff. But yeah, quid pro quo, and definitely, like I say, Heavy Traffic meant a fair bit to me, and In Search of the Lost Chord, which is 2007, quid pro quo is 2011. But man, I was completely checked out, and maybe I shouldn't have been compared to, you know, or logically speaking, compared to all these super later years. But yeah, that whole early 80s spate of albums, I was pretty much checked out on. Okay, let's move on to our third selection. Take a listen to this. This is Foghat with Too Late the Hero. Stood at the bus stop on a cold rainy day, tired through a puddle, used to flood in my face. No bus arrived, so I just crawled into town. I took my chances on the underground. Subway station, waterfall, people like communities feed on to a train. In desperation, I looked for a taxi. Okay, so Foghat definitely shrunk the boogie. It's almost like an absolute, blueprint or doppelganger of the status quo situation in on all counts. I mean, basically, Foghat was this strident big boogie rock sound with Honey Hush and Slow Ride and you know, Night Shift driving wheel. So yeah, all those classic era Foghat albums. What do we got? We got Foghat, we got Rock and Roll, we got Energize, we got Rock and Roll Outlaws. What else? Fool for the City, Night Shift, Stone Blue, Boogie Motel. I think it's Motel, right? So that whole run is kind of considered the classic Foghat years. My favorite is Night Shift. My second favorite is Fool for the City. So you got your 75 album, your 76 album, and they're essentially a loud rock and heavy boogie band. I think the production they get with the most levity and the most heft is Fool for the City. Nick Jameson is in the band. You know, personified more than anything by Slow Ride. That is a big, heavy rockin' song. It's kind of a boogie rock song, but it's a slower one. But yeah, so they are doing those 70s things. It's similar to Quo. It's kind of similar to the Stones, where they're trying to sound as powerful and as big as possible. And they do a good job of it. Super distortion on the guitars. Yeah, you think of Wild Cherry, Honey Hush. Like I say, Honey Hush is that weird. It's essentially Train Kept a Rolling, right? That's a whole story. I think I went into that story before about how do you sort out the songwriting credits on something like that. But yeah, I Just Want to Make Love to You is a big, heavy, you know, cover. So yeah, they're this big, heavy 70s band. They're a hard rock band in the 70s. But you get to the 80s, so this song we just played is from Tight Shoes, and again, I wanted to play something that actually has boogie to it. We're up to 1980, the ninth album. It's the same lineup. It's still the classic lineup. They wrote them all. This is Dave Peverett, the leader of the band, writing pretty much everything. And then they move into three more like this. So they have four albums that are like this, and Boogie Motel's even like this, but they're actually produced by Nick Jameson, which is a little surprising because they go for sort of a dry, tight, lacking bass, lacking distortion on the guitars, sort of new wave sound. So this is where I want to introduce this thing where it's not, you know, status quo is in influenced by the pub rock end of, I guess you want to still call it new wave. We've done a whole episode on this, you know, what is new wave thing. New wave is an American thing as far as I'm concerned, or a term, rather than, you know, you use post-punk over there or pub rock when we're talking about what we're talking about here. But I think Foghat is a little more influenced by the likes of the Cars, the Romantics, the Knack. So that new wave style, and probably a little bit, they still remember their UK roots. So I think they are still thinking Dave Edmunds, Rockpile, because those albums, frankly, actually did make a little bit of a dent in America as well. So they're inspired by that. And I think with Foghat as well, they're maybe inspired a little bit more by their childhood. So going back, not what they did in the 70s, but going all the way back before that to their childhood and thinking about early rock and roll again, maybe they're a little bit influenced by the big rock and roll revival and the massive hit that was Grease. And like I mentioned, Sha Na Na and American Graffiti as well, but Grease was massive, right? You think of early rock and roll for Britain, and they use that word skiffle. They use that term skiffle. You know, there's the famous Jimmy Page playing skiffle as a kid, right? Video that you see on YouTube. So I think you get all of that smallness going on here. And when I think of skiffle and when I think of early rock and roll, you also think during this era. So as Foghat moves forward, we get into Girls to Chat and Boys to Bounce. And so the lineup here, this is where you get Eric Cartwright in on lead guitar, backing vocals. He's an occasional writer. It almost reminds me of the John Brandt Cheap Trick era, right? And then you move into In the Mood for Something Rude, October 18th, 82, all outside writers, pretty bizarre. And then you've got Zigzag Walk, May 11th, 83. They wrote 6 out of the 10 on here. So this is Dave, Eric Cartwright, Eli Jenkins on bass, and Roger Earl, the perennial, the great Roger Earl on drums. So Foghat gives us four albums like this, exactly when Status Quo is doing the exact same kind of thing. And then Foghat's gone. They're broken up until we get to Last of the Boogeymen, or Return of the Boogeymen, sorry, 1994. That's when I got to interview the late and great Dave Peverett. Sadly, we lost him to cancer not long after. But frankly, Foghat remains a small band or a shrunken boogie band because they have decided to do a lot of covers. And when they write, they decide to be almost more of a blues band. Roger has taken that band almost back to their Savoy Brown roots. And I'm not a big fan of the latest album either. I want Foghat to be that hard rock and heavy metal band that pleased an angry young metalhead like me in the 70s kind of thing. So there you go. Oh, yeah, right. I was getting to this point. So the other thing that I think might influence a band like Foghat is this whole idea of, there's a mild little bit of a rockabilly revival that comes from the likes of Crazy Little Thing Called Love, Queen, you know, off of the big hit album The Game. We've got the Honey Drippers, the little supergroup doing the EP of essentially rockabilly, and we've got a massive rockabilly band in the Stray Cats. So there's a little bit of that going on. So I think they're looking at that as well. They're looking at New Wave. They're looking at boredom too. They're bored doing the same thing over again. And like I say, Origami Blues, you get bored origami boogie. You get bored with the fact that there's only, as Sammy Hagar would say, there's only one way to rock, right? There's only a couple ways to do boogie music. So they have to find something new. So they're moving with the times, right? There's possibly the idea that, you know, the record sales are going down. We've got, you know, there's a bit of panic sets in, what do we do kind of thing. All right, so our next band that shrunk the boogie, take a listen to this. This is AC/DC with some Got Some Rock and Roll Thunder. Okay, so this is from the Rock or Bust album, 2014. I do not like this album. I like Black Ice, and I don't think the boogie's particularly shrunken on Black Ice either. But they definitely shrink the boogie on this album. They shrink the boogie on Ballbreaker 1995 and on Stiff Upper Lip 2000. And I think it's kind of shrunken on Power Up, but for a different reason that I'll get to. So, again, AC/DC, people joke about them. How can you possibly keep making the same song over and over and over again? Well, they managed to, and they managed to do a great job of it, and they're a massive band. But it was generally a pretty heavy rockin' band all the way up through the Razor's Edge. And then I figured that they started to get quieter. The productions got quieter. They got smaller. The guitars got cleaner. They took off a little distortion on the guitar. There was a little more palm muting. And you started to see with Ballbreaker that origami boogie thing. Like, how many different ways can we do this? And they started turning in some arcane, sweet and sour sort of songs. And I think this Got Some Rock and Roll Thunder completely shows that. I call this their line dancing album. And this is definitely a song that sounds like line dancing. You think of that goofy looking country line dancing thing. And that title is so bad. Got Some Rock & Roll Thunder. It's like they're just mixing up all their words together, word salad of all the AC/DC tropes. And they make this song that doesn't rock very much, right? So you definitely hear this, you know, things get more relaxed, they get more mid-paced. So why does AC/DC do it? So we went over a few things. Boredom, you can only do the same thing over and over again so much. I think with AC/DC, and this feels different than these other bands, I think they just got older. I think they got older and they slowed down. And so you get this sort of slower, more relaxed armchair, you know, sitting on the porch version of AC/DC. Again, it's all mixed in with going back to your roots, going back to the music they loved as kids, the Rolling Stones themselves, Chuck Berry, that kind of thing. And I just wanted to mention Power Up. I think on Power Up, you get kind of a Black Ice collection of songs. So they're closer to kind of heavy metal songs. But again, Brendan O'Brien, who produces all these last albums, I think he's starting to do way too polite on these guys. I think they need to turn it up again. They need to do that thing they did when they did Let There Be Rock, and they really amped everything up, and they go, wow, we can be a powerful band. They've lost that power. I think they kind of had it on Black Ice, but they lost it again on Rock or Bust and Power Up. I don't think they're particularly powerful sounding albums. So yeah, AC/DC, perfect example of a band that shrunk the boogie. I think basically people generally don't like most of these albums because they just find them too light and too corporate. And the whole idea is it sounds like their brains are not wired for heavy metal. All right, let's move on. This is our fifth selection and last. This is the Black Crowes with Ozone Mama. The bug the bitch, y'all, to make you itch, y'all. It's for itch, y'all, till you tell y'all. I see it all, y'all, near and far, y'all. We won't ever let it drag on. Spun that feeling, got me reeling. Like I'm walking on the ceiling. Do it to me now. Okay, so this is from Lions. Lions is 2001. So the reason I wanted to put Black Crowes in here is quite different from the other ones. So again, I feel like across Shake Your Moneymaker, 1990, 5 times platinum. Southern Harmony Musical Companion, 1992, 2 times platinum. Amorica, 1994 gold. So I think across these three albums, they are a world-beating band. They are like a... almost like an arena rock sort of band. Not really. I mean, when you listen to the records, it's almost like it just turned out that way because everybody was super excited about the Black Crowes. They were the saviors of rock and roll. They were the real thing. This great bluesy Faces, Humble Pie, Rolling Stones kind of band, but also a little bit of hair metal, amplification to them. So I think they're a big band is what I'm saying. They're a big band and they're definitely a boogie band across these albums. What they do... and I don't belie them for this. I don't put them down for this. I think it's a great idea. But I think they shrunk the boogie by being bored with that and wanting to break more rules. So they become kind of like a Grateful Dead jam band, a little bit of an Allman Brothers band. But I think what happens beginning and accelerating with Three Snakes and One Charm, you even hear it in that weird title, right? And then By Your Side, another weird title. Lions, War Paint, Before the Frost, Until the Freeze, weird, weird title. So I think what happens is they kind of lose their minds a little bit, right? You've got this, famous war between Chris and I'm forgetting the other guy's names. Chris Robinson and whatever the other guy is. Is it Ross? No. So these guys, the famous brothers duel, but you also get... the other guys as well. And there's the other Black Crowes that wrote the amazing, considered one of the great rock bios, but let's not dwell on that too much. I think the main thing here is, a lot of tension in the band, but I think the main thing here is this band really gets super creative and wants to spread their wings and just become a completely universal band that can do anything, and they do anything. They turn in so many different song styles across these albums. They become even more of an Americana band, even more of a funk band, even more of a blues band, more of a ballad band, more of a jam band. So essentially, their parameters widen, and this is the way they shrink the boogie. It's almost like they shrink away from the boogie. Just become this this great general band doing this stuff that frankly is less commercial, and obviously everything drops off because Southern Harmony and Musical Companion goes double platinum, America gold, and they never certify again. Granted, they start spreading things out. They're half broken up. They're doing solo albums, weird projects. They do the Jimmy Page live album thing. So they become almost, they do kind of what Pearl Jam does and become this this interesting version of a... of almost like a huge cult band, right? So there you go. That's our last one. That's how Black Crowes shrunk the boogie. I thought this was a pretty cool episode with this theme. Honorable mentions. I thought of, does ZZ Top shrink the boogie? They like add technology to their boogie, right? So that's how they do it. BTO kind of goes pop. They kind of turn into an April Wine sort of band. So they take their heavy stuff from earlier, which has a fair bit of rootsy rock in it, and they get a little that way. Southern Rock, do they shrink the boogie? Sort of they do. They there's that whole trend with them going AOR. I think I might have done an entire episode on that. The Angels, thinking of the AC/DC family, they don't particularly change. Rose Tattoo does. Rose Tattoo kind of shrinks the boogie. Even on Scarred for Life, they get a little more poppy, and then they get really away from it on beats from a single drum, which is all keyboardy and straight pop sort of thing. So, there weren't a lot of other examples, but I thought I'd mention those that they kind of fit in different ways. I thought that was kind of cool. So there you go. If you like the show and want to support future episodes, please go to ko-fi.com/MartinPopoff. Hit that red support button. Buy me a coffee or a pint. This week I would like to thank Joe Bett, who I just had the pleasure of even already this morning. We did a panel for the Contrarians on Saxon Crusader, and Joe was part of that, so that was really cool. Andy at Black Sugar Transmission, Lee Clifford, John Folkers, very generous. Take a long break, John. Dallas Hodgson, reader of my books from the very early days. Monty Olson and Steve Polari, thank you. Very, very faithfully, always on board, you guys. Very cool. You can get my books at martinpopoff.com. There's been a lot of out of stock, but I've got them back in. I've got flaming telepaths back in. That thing just continues to tell my sell my crazy Imaginos related book. So just 2 days ago, I got another 100 copies of that in because I'm gearing up, because the follow up to that Perfect Water is in layout right now, and that is going to be really cool. And I think it's going to, it's my favorite thing I've ever done, and I think that's going to stimulate, of course, some sales of Flaming Telepaths. But yeah, I got the Kiss book back in. I had run out of AC/DC at 50. Speaking of shrinking the boogie, but I've got that back in, and I've got more copies of the Pink Floyd and the Who back in as well. So there you go. Your homework for today, just go play some Release Status Quo. You can't go wrong with that.
Find all of our shows, notes, social, and links at www.pantheonpodcast.com or wherever you listen to great podcasts. All songs can be found for purchase on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Please purchase these great and important tracks. Find us on Facebook at The RNRAP. We are on Instagram at RNR Archaeology. Tweet us at RNR Archaeology.